Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Come on, come on, put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, come on, give me a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy, God. God is worthy. God is worthy. God is worthy. And I just believe that it is Jesus in you. And even right now, God is getting ready to shift you to another place in Him. But what I found out here is that you got to be willing to go. Hallelujah. You got to be willing to go. And as we learned in Sunday school, you got to drop your mess. You got to drop your bag. Amen. Come on here, come on here. Listen, you gotta drop your bed.
Yeah.
You gotta be ready to move when God says move. Just like that praise team, I'm ready to preach. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. See, in worship, what happens is worship don't start when you get to the house. Amen. Y'all can say that. Amen. It starts before you get to the house. Because the word of God says that you were supposed to enter into His gate with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And the problem is sometimes we want to wait till we get in the house before we get where we need to be. And Jarvis, if you like me, between Pulaski and Columbia, between Spring Hill and Columbia, I know how to get in the place. Amen. So when I get to the house, I'm already prepared. And probably it grieves me that when I'm prepared to worship, then I got to motivate other folks to worship. Hallelujah, I wish I had a wisdom. See, when God is looking for a particular sound, you can't worry about the key that you need. You just got to be sensitive and say, let's go with this. I wish I had a witness here. And God is looking for worship, pure worship in this household today. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Can I get on some help here? Hallelujah. The man of God that was here last Sunday evening, his message was that you were restored on purpose. God restored you on purpose. That means that He brought you, oh my God, to this place on purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I think about that, the Bible says that He has given us a ministry of restoration. And that means, listen, if He's giving you a ministry of restoration, that means that He has restored you so that you can restore somebody else. Hallelujah. You can't get restored if it comes from places. I wish I had the truth of it. Hallelujah. And earlier this morning, God took me into a place. Took me into a place where we're just me and Him. And that's why I'm ready to preach now. Because I didn't need the praise team to give me a song to get me there. Because when I got here for Sunday school, I was already there. I wish I had a witness. Because watch this. God spoke to me in my spirit, and all I said was, God, I trust you. Anybody in here trust me? Listen, y'all, listen, I'm not talking about you got money in the bank right now and everything is good. I'm talking about there's some stuff that ain't even lining up. Where you at? The outcome of your situation, so the devil thinks, is about to wipe you out. And you still lift up hands and say, God, I trust you. No matter what it looks like, I don't know where I'm going in this season,
I don't even know how I'm walking in this season, but God, wherever you lead me, I'm willing to follow you. If I look around and I got folk with me, but if I look around and I'm by myself, God, I'm still with you. Because I know that my family, my friends, even my enemies don't want to see me go where you're taking me. But God, I trust you. Anybody in here? Hallelujah. If they won't pray, I pray. If they won't go get a prophet, I'll go get them. God, I trust you. Any hope in your trust, really trust God. When you can't even call nobody.
Oh, my God.
I say, hey, I need to borrow until I get. Can I talk to the Lord? When you have to really lean and depend on God. Hallelujah. God is saying, listen, you quote the scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight. God said, some of you need to become blind. Quit seeing everything. And just say, God, I can't see the highway. But listen, I know it's got to be a walk there because you brought me here. Hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. You hear that today, but it's all right. Hallelujah. Y'all pray for your father. Man. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, listen, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust him. 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 Listen. Elder White, God said, listen, I was praying concerning the ministry. God said, if you do everything right, and everybody walk out on you,
come on,
I'm still going to make provision. See, as a leader, as a pastor, as the apostle of the house, my concern is, and today God released that burden off of me, trying to make sure that everybody that say they connected, stay connected.
Amen.
But then I got to remember, God took me back, prophet is not, and said, you preach, then let the wheat and the tail grow together. And it's harvest time. Oh, my God. He said, and when it's harvest time, I'm going in the field. And I'm going to separate the wheat from the tail. I'm going to keep the wheat and burn the tail. Hallelujah. So, I heard you, Fred. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me.
Now, y'all ain't ready, y'all.
Instead of trying to pump and pull everybody to go where you're trying to go, you got to come in agreement with yourself that they are not designed and cut out for your destiny. Everybody was not framed and fashioned in the handiwork that God created you in. Your destiny is designed for you and the one that God wants to enter into it with you. But if the people that you're trying to stay connected with don't happen to make it, then listen, you can't lose yourself. I said, why they didn't come? Why they not with me is because they wasn't designed to get that with you. And then you're trying to grab people and shape and mold them and frame them to fit into what God, into the plan that God got for you. That ain't what God said. He said, I designed and I got the plan laid out for you. I drew this blueprint for you. Not for you to add to, take away, put what you want to put in it, and take what you want to take out. He said, it's for you. Somebody ought to be shouting like that. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you really thought, if you really think about it, if you really fashion your mind on it, some of you just lost some weight while you were sitting here. If you really think about the folks that are quit calling you, quit texting you, quit Facebooking you, listen, you ought to be shouting because they gone. Because they was holding you up all the time. Thank God. They was holding them up. But you're so concerned about, well, why they ain't calling me? Why they ain't texting me? Where they at? You going and looking for them, and God said, I got them away from you. You going on a scavenger hunt. God said, let a sleeping dog lay. My God. I don't know. I give God the praise. I give him the glory. I give him the honor today. I want to say this. Sunday school was going on. And I was in the back reading a book that God showed me in my eyes about the apostles and the prophets. And in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 9 and 10, it talks about us being the handiwork of God, the masterpiece of God. And looked at my phone. And Nikki from Kuwait sent me a message on Facebook, one word, masterpiece. Y'all. And I sent a message back. I said one word. And she said, yes, God dropped it in my spirit. And said, you are and you have been created. Man. This morning at 3:36 in the morning, prophetess sent me a message saying this reminded me of the word that was spoken over you. I said, my God. So watch this, Elder White. God has started confirming everything that he has spoken to me. Saying that the vision is still good. So watch this. When I was a little boy, we used to sing a song at my home church. I'm on my way to the kingdom land. And it was a verse in that song that if my mother don't go, I'll journey home. If my sister don't go, I'll journey on. If my brother don't go, I'll journey on. I'm on my way to the kingdom land. Well, Apostle, what are you saying? If you don't go, I'm going to allow my God. I can't wait. Watch this. Even though me and pastor are hooked up by God in the spirit, we as one, we married, but I can't wait for her. Oh my God, y'all looking, y'all listening. I can't wait for her to decide when she gonna get herself together so that I can take the journey. I know we are as one, but if you are in room at the door, I can't let you stop me. I wish I had a witness here. So, Apostle, you said that you would leave your spouse? Yes. And where God is taking me is dependent upon my
anyway, if she connected with me, she ought to feel the vision. Hallelujah. If I say move, she ought to say, where are we going? When Abram went to Sarai, when God told him to leave, get out of this land, she didn't start saying, well, where we going, Abram? He said, oh, she got her grip and left. I ain't worried about my mama, my cat, I want my wife. Hold on, let's go. Because I'm trying to see what God is doing. That's the reason why some of us can't move no faster. We can't get no further than where we are because we too busy letting folks dictate to us which direction to go when God has already told us to go. Hallelujah. Rebirth, we on the come up. Can y'all say that? We on the come up. So if you don't come up, you're going to get left. Hallelujah. You're going to get left. Hallelujah. If you still operating under this crazy foolishness, listen, you ain't got no place in the destiny for rebirth. I could say something right there, but I'm going to be quiet. We come from different places. You want to bring that same mentality with you that you've been carrying around for years. Thank you, Prophet, it's because you set the you made the pathway. Get yourself delivered. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, get yourself delivered. Get yourself delivered. Hallelujah. Amen. So a whole lot of us need to be delivered. Thank you, Lord. All right, listen. Let me preach a little bit, and I'm going on. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 11. We're going to read verses 11 through 18. Are we there? 1 Samuel chapter 3. That's the Old Testament. Amen. Amen. Before 2 Samuel, and after Joshua. Amen. If you're having trouble, look in the table of contents. Amen. Amen. It reads like this. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever.
And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. The word of God for the people of God. And the people of God said, amen. With the help of the Holy Ghost and with your prayers, God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of thy heart, be acceptable in thine sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. With your prayers and with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to talk from the subject of when God makes up his mind. When God makes up his mind. When you hear this statement about someone making up their mind, it says to us that they are on the eve of making a decision about something that they are dealing with. Can I get a witness? Now, when I say I got to make up my mind, that means that I'm thinking the process through because I'm in my natural man. But for me to say and use as a subject, when God makes up his mind, poses a thought into some of our minds that just maybe God does not know what he's doing. Can y'all talk to me here? It seems like that just there's a possibility, Apostle, that you are saying that God has a problem with making the right choices and the right decisions. But what I want to suggest to you today is that God never has a problem about decisions that he makes. But what God does is he gives us the opportunity and the grace for us to turn from some things before he brings his wrath against his people. Can I talk to some folks up in here? Yes, I know, Prophetess Karen, I know we have said so many times, and it's said that this is the New Testament church age, and we are living under grace because Jesus has died, and he's rose again, and the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, and in the Old Testament, God did not talk directly to man, but he always had somebody to convey a message from him through man to man. I wish I had a witness. And we want to say that now we can go in and talk to God for ourselves, and we are covered by grace. I want you to notice that if you read the text closely, if you study the Bible closely, there was grace in the Old Testament just like it was in the New Testament. Man, my God. Grace is all through the Bible. God, in this particular passage of scripture, you got to study it. You got to read it. Read from 1 Samuel chapter 1 over up to this chapter here, chapter 3, and you'll understand it. Lady Alderson, it is the story of it. We've heard it before of God speaking to Samuel and Samuel going to Eli and asking him, are you calling me? And he said, no, I didn't call you. So he went three times. And then Eli told Samuel, said, now when you hear the voice again, say, speak low. Mm-hmm. That's where we at in chapter 3. But this message that God was giving Samuel was concerning the priest Eli and his house. So in order to understand this, you got to go back in some chapters, and you got to understand why the wrath of God was against Eli. And it wasn't anything that Eli done personally, but it was what Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's children, done. And Eli did not do anything about it, but his children done in the house of God. Eli, a priest in the temple, Eli knew God. He heard the voice of God. And Phinehas and Hophni was committing sin in the house of God. Watch this. They were going as people were coming in making sacrifices. They were telling them to give them things, pieces of the sacrifice, and they were eating the sacrifice right off the altar. I wish I had some witnesses here. Hophni and Phinehas, there were women in those days, beginning in the book of Exodus and even in Jesus' days up into the book of Luke, it was women that gave themselves to the temple. They spent their days and their nights in the temple so that they would be able to minister in the house of God. And it was the preacher's sons. The P-tays, that's what we call them. The preacher's kids that were sleeping with these pure women in the house of God that was defiling the house of God. Can I talk to some folks? There were some things going on that God did not like, and he went to Eli and said, Eli, Hophni and Phinehas is desecrating my house. Even Eli went to Hophni and Phinehas, brought it to their attention and said, listen, I hear that you are doing these things in the temple of God. I heard that these things are going on. But not one time did Eli deal with the sin of his children. And when Eli failed to deal with the sin of his children, that made God angry. I wish I had a witness here. And God said, well, since you are not able to deal with your children, then let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the ram to go through your family. And watch this, y'all seen it, I read it. He said, that, listen, what this thing that I have done, you can't even wipe it out with a sacrifice. When God gives you enough time to change, to turn from your wicked ways, and you fail to do so, I don't care how much you fast, how much you pray, how many days you spend entering the temple of God, when God say, I'm going to get you, and you don't pray, you better know that you don't pray. And God, listen, I know, Elder White, we've been saying God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, but just like God got a good side, Minister Sanders, God got a wrathful side. You got to understand, they give you grace to pay bills, but grace run out. And when grace runs out, you have to pay almost double. I wish I had a witness here. And some of us, God said, listen, my grace is about to run out. And listen, I thought I'm about to make up my mind concerning you and your wicked ways. Because you cannot continue to operate in your carnal mind, in your sin nature, and think that you are going to please God. God said, I'm not in it. You bleeding and you contaminated the house of God. Now watch this, watch this. It takes me back to the book of Numbers. When God spoke to Moses and he told Moses, said, Moses, go speak to the rock. And because the folk agitated Moses, Moses got upset and he struck the rock. And God immediately spoke to Moses and said, because you struck the rock, you will not make it to the promised land. Allow Moses to go up on the mountain and look over in the promised land. And the Bible said, and Moses died. Watch this. Eli in the temple of God, doing what he's supposed to do, and allowed his boss. Oh, my God. Allow his boys to experience the wrath of God, not only on him, but on his whole entire family. Oh, Jesus. You looking at me and I'm looking at you. What's going to happen when God make up his mind concerning you? Will God say, I'm going to wipe them out? Or am I going to bless them? Here, God speaks to Samuel. He says, listen, I'm speaking to you concerning the house of Eli. I'm going to wipe them out. Can I paraphrase it? I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to do away with the house of Eli. They won't be able to go to the temple and offer up a sacrifice to purge this. It's over for them. They're done. I'm through with them. I've taken my hands off. And watch this. Eli couldn't wait till the next morning.
Come on.
He couldn't wait till he saw Samuel. But the word was so convicting, that Samuel didn't even want to tell Eli what God said. But watch this. Eli already knew. I wish I had a witness. Eli already knew what God was saying to Samuel. Let me tell you something. Listen, watch this. When you got a connection with God, and God is talking to somebody else concerning you because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, they ain't got to tell you what God said to you concerning you. I already know. I wish I had witness here. Because, listen, the only thing that God done with Samuel was to confirm what he had already told Eli earlier. And because the space and time had went forth and Eli failed to do what he was supposed to do, God said, watch this. When I reject one, I'll raise up another. Oh, man, I wish I had. Have you noticed in your study, and have you noticed that God got an order and he never gets out of order with what he do? Watch this. God never, Elder White, God never raised up another leader while it was still somebody in operation. Oh, man, wow. Okay, watch this. Moses is in operation, but God knows that Moses is getting ready to fade off the sea. So what did he tell him to do? Listen, lay your mantle on Joshua. Oh, man. Y'all, see, some of us, we think that when Elisha saw Elijah go up in the chariots and he had already told himself, if you see me when I go up, then you shall receive my mantle. But then you got to go back some chapters. I wish I had a witness. It was already anointed that Elijah's mantle was going to fall on Elisha, because he said, go down and lay your mantle on Elisha. Oh, I wish I had a witness. God will always raise up a leader when he rejects another. Oh, you want me to bring it home, buddy? Come here, David. Come here, Paul. I wish I had a witness. When the Spirit of God left Paul, that's when he told Samuel, go down to Jesse's house. God never changes his order. God said, listen, before I hire somebody, I'm going to fire somebody first. But God is the only God that'll fire you and let you stay in operation and raise up somebody else with the anointing. I wish I had a witness. God will fire you. He'll take his anointing away from you, let you operate in your gift, and then raise up someone that's anointed to stand right by your side. Oh, my God. So God has raised up Samuel. He's speaking. And watch this. Now Israel goes into war. Goes into war because now the Philistines had rose up against Israel Sunday. But it was all in a plan. God, it was a plan. They came in and they sold the ark. Oh, Jesus. And during the war, thinking my study, this says that the Philistines came in and wiped out 30,000 of the Israelites, and the rest of them took off running. But watch this. In the process, Hophni and Phinehas was a part of that army. And you got to receive, watch the word. The word had already went forth that Hophni and Phinehas was going to die on the same day. And they died in war together. Oh, Jesus, oh, have mercy, Lord. I feel like running. Jesus. So now, Hophni, watch it, y'all follow me. God's wrath is working. Hophni and Phinehas is dead. Eli is 98 years old and he's blind. He's sitting on a stool. And he hears all the commotion. He can't see what's going on. And this one man runs to him, and he said, what's going on? He said, listen, the Philistines have rose up again and took the ark. I wish I had, Lord, have mercy. Let me get here. Wait a minute, hold on. I want y'all to be there. Okay, watch this. Y'all in verse 18, chapter 4, verse 18. Philistines then came, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. Why? Watch verse 18. Eli didn't get upset over Hophni and Phinehas. But watch what it said when they told him that the ark of God was gone. At the end, when he said ark of God, the Bible said that Eli fell off the stool and broke his own neck and died. Oh, my God. Not only that, but then you read on down, Phinehas' wife was pregnant. Oh, Jesus. She was in pain. And listen, about to die. And somebody told her, hold up, don't die yet. Hold on. And in her pain, she gave birth to a child and named the child Ichabod. Oh, my God. She named it Ichabod. And the reason why she named the child Ichabod is stood for that God is not with us. Oh, Jesus. So what happens when God makes up his mind and writes Ichabod on your house. Oh, Jesus. What happens when God lifts his hand off of you? And you think that you're flowing under the anointing, and you're flowing under the Spirit, but it's really you flowing in your gift because Ichabod has been stamped on you. And God spoke to me this morning, and he said, you got to be very careful to keep the house clean. Keep me ever present, always listening to what I tell you. Be sensitive to me. Be, listen, deal with sin. Whether if it's your sin or anybody's sin, because you don't want Ichabod to be stamped on your house. And what that suggests to me is that there's a lot of houses in operation, but there is no Spirit of God there. And you want to get an attitude because a mandate's been stamped on you to come up to another dimension. Just move a little bit further. You want to get an attitude. You want to say they picking on me. They talking about me. But you ought to see, baby, you been in a house where Ichabod was.
Come out.
And God said, I provided you a way of escape to save you. And now you think you can come and that Spirit can follow you? Now I'm in here, baby. Oh, my God, because I always want the Spirit of God to dwell with me. You trying to figure out why your worship can't get no higher than what it is. Look at your life. What are you doing in your life that's causing you not to be able to feel the presence of God? When we already know that God said, I won't dwell in an unclean temple. I can't manifest myself in no mess because darkness and light can't dwell in the same house. Either it's going to be all of me or none of me. Hallelujah, somebody. I want to suggest to you today that some of you are operating with the Spirit of Ichabod. Because how can you be in a house where the anointing of God is flowing and you never experience a change in your life? You never experience nothing different. You leave out of worship and every week it's the same thing. I'm going to be like the man that's been on the internet that was at the 106th convocation of the Church of God in Christ. You want me to tell you what your problem is? Do you want me to tell you what your problem is? You need some deliverance. Hallelujah. Jarvis, if I come to worship and I'm saying that I'm high in the Holy Ghost and we've heard a powerful message, Elder White, and every week I'm out on the parking lot, I'm raising hell with somebody else about something, I'm operating in the Spirit of Ichabod because God is not with me. I wish I had a witness here. What's going to happen when God makes up his mind concerning you? You remember, watch this. You remember when the children, they were laughing at Elijah in the Bible, and Elijah called for a she-bear to come and eat him up? Y'all, maybe that's one of them stories y'all ain't read yet, but look it up. is in the Old Testament for you New Testament readers. See, when the Spirit of God is with you, you can call for some things to happen and they'll begin to take place. But when you are operating and the Spirit of God is not with you, I don't care how much you call. God said, I ain't in that. I ain't with that. How many houses have you ever been in and you've seen how the folk are up dancing and worshiping and God speaks to you and say, nothing about that is holy. Nothing about what's going on in this house is holy. It's all just repetition. It's memories. It's a familiar spirit. And God told me this morning, Lady Alderson, co-pastor, that I did not call Rebirth to be a memory church. A church that operates with familiar spirits. What goes on in Rebirth, you'll probably never see nowhere else once you get delivered from yourself. Hallelujah. Is the spirit of Ichabod following you? You wondering why ain't no peace in your house? Ain't no solitude in your house? Ain't no peace on your job. And you following everybody else. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if you say that you are with God and God is with you, that means that the Spirit ought to be somewhere around you. So you ought to be experiencing some type of freedom. But if you in bondage at home, you in bondage at church, you in bondage on your job, you in bondage at Walmart, it ain't nothing wrong with God. Everything is wrong with you. And I don't mean to be meddling. I don't mean to be shucking and jiving. But if everybody around you look like everybody you've been trying to get with, it ain't everybody that you around. It's you that keep attracting the same thing. Did I say that too fast? Hallelujah. If all my friends look like the friends that I just got rid of, then that means there ain't nothing wrong with the friends I got rid of. It means that everything is wrong with me because I keep attracting the opposite of what I need to be attracted. Hallelujah, somebody. And whatever you do, as you are part of a ministry, you are part of your family, your very sin can affect everybody in your family. Not only a generation that looking at you, but generations to come. That's why we have generational curse. And you got to learn how to stand up and say, listen, I'm going to break this generational curse through the power and the anointing of God, because it's only by the anointing. That those yokes are destroyed. Lord, have mercy. I don't care how much you shout, how many tongues you speak in, how much rolling and tumbling you do on the floor. I know you've been faking like you've been delivered. You've been faking like you done regurgitated something. That's what you've been doing. You've been faking. But get it out of you so that God can really use you and you can really be effective. Ichabod. This woman giving birth to a child on her deathbed. Can't you see her in 2015 saying, if Eli just had only dealt with my husband, I wouldn't have had to go through this. Oh, some of y'all done said it. Some of y'all done said it. If my daddy had only taught me this, if my mama had only shown me this, then I would not have had to go through the things that I've been going through. But really, when you come to the knowledge of knowing who God is, is it really your mama's fault and your daddy's fault? Or you just want to stand on that kickstand of excuse and say, I'm not going any further. The buck stops here because I'm looking for somebody to blame for me not growing up and becoming mature in who God has created me to be. Yes, I'm pretty sure that all of us in here, our parents could have done a little bit better with us, but guess what? We're here. Matter of fact, we probably could have done a little bit better with our children. But there comes a time when you are old enough to make up your mind. Old enough to make up your mind, to make a conscious decision to say, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this anymore. This ain't going to follow me. I don't care how many generations it had affected before me, but right now, this is not going to affect me, nor the generations after me. Oh, my God. And your sin nature, your sin nature, the way you've operated in other ministries, being disobedient is as a form of witchcraft, has affected other ministries, held other ministries up. The reason why they couldn't get to where they need to be, because it was too much sin in the house. But I say this for Rebirth, for the vision that God has given Rebirth, given me as the man of God, that none of our sin, if it's my sin, is going to prohibit the vision from coming forth. Because I'm like this, God, if I'm the weakest link, then move me. Oh, y'all sitting there quiet. You must understand. Apostle talking about me, John. That's what somebody's saying. He picking on me. But what you must understand, and when I'm in the realm of God, when I'm in the place of God, when I'm where I need to be and I'm listening to God, watch this. The word hits me first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, when God makes up his mind, how he gonna deal with you? Tight, but it's right. God don't have to directly deal with you. Sandra, he'll go get your children. Then he don't have to touch your children. He'll go down through the lineage and get your great-great-grandchildren. All because of you. All because of what you've done. is my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Come, which means to pause, then proceed. Then will I forgive their sins. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If your land needs healing, hallelujah. If your land needs to be healed, then you need to do some turning. Look at somebody and tell them, if you need a healing in your land, you need to do some turning. It's not God's fault when you experience a drought. It's your fault. It ain't even the devil's fault. It's your fault. Because you ain't did no turning. Twisted and tangled all up in your mind. Still trying to make people pay for stuff that they did years ago. You need to be delivered. Caught up in your emotions and worrying about if you looking like this or if you looking like that. Yeah, yeah, you're looking like you're looking. And enjoy what you're looking like. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you. Go to Philippians chapter 1. This is some things that God wants to do. This is one thing that God showed me. Philippians chapter 1. If you standing up for right, right going to follow you. Somebody say amen. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I come that mothers will be against daughters and fathers against sons. The Prince of Peace, the Shalom, said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I come that these things will take place. Now we read about what happened to Eli, Phinehas, and Hophni, and Eli's grand, his daughter-in-law, because Eli failed to do the right thing. But watch this. Watch what happens when you do the right thing in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If he started in you, he's going to complete it. But if you offer the praying, you're going to know that there is a wrathful side of God. And you can keep playing if you want to. Keep thinking that things are not going to flow if you are not a Paul or if you ain't got your hand in it. Or if I don't say it is, then it ain't. Keep thinking and watch what happens. God will totally move you out of the way. He's not going to let anybody hold up the program, hold up what's going on. Hallelujah. In our family, in our life in church, he's not going to allow it. Amen. Keep saying he's good. Yes, you are good, God. I thank you. You are good. But I even thank you that you're good enough to chastise me when I get out of order. Lord, you fix me. Hallelujah. If I'm holding up the ministry jobs, if I'm holding up the ministry because of my sins and the things that I'm doing that is contrary against God, God is saying, you're not that big where I can't move you. And not only that, he will move anybody. Hallelujah. Y'all worrying about what's going on over there. If you got your mind on Jesus. That shouldn't even been distracting. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What's going to happen when God make up his mind? Hallelujah. As we stand all over the building. We stand all over the building. Stand down here today. If you desire prayer, if you want to unite with the ministry, this is your time. Somebody and tell them, say you need to be free. Look at them again and say it with conviction, clarity, and tell them you need to be free. Can you look at somebody else and tell them, don't hold me up? And I'm not going to hold you up. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I've done what you told me to do, God.
send out the warning. The warning is staring us in the face, God. Now, God, I call for a repentant spirit. I cast down pride and high-mindedness and haughtiness. And I lose the spirit of humility in this place. But God, even if it's me and I'm too high, bring me down. Whatever it is, God, whatever it is that we have not done, the way we walk has not been pleasing in your sight. Lord, I'm sorry. Because, God, I want to be effective in your kingdom. And not only do I want to be effective, God, but I want to be a kingdom builder. God, I don't want to be the weakest link or the missing link. But I want you to use me totally in every aspect that you see. As the leader of this house, God, I'm in your presence right now, God, saying I repent for your people. I'm sorry for your people, God. God, I'm sorry that I took my mind off of what you wanted me to do and put it on the people that were not here. But God, I thank you today that through your word you chastised me, you chastised the house, and now, God, I'm refocused. And God, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move when you say move, just like that. Now, God, show me the heart of your people. Open it up to me, God, like a book. Lord, I don't need any assignments, but I need those that are attached to you to attach to this ministry. Thank you, God, that you add into this ministry daily such as you see fit. I even thank you in advance for the influx of people that you have in holding until the house gets right. And Lord, just like in the natural, we're on the eve of spring. Lord, in the spirit, we are coming into the beginning season of our best days, God. Lord, the trees are about to bud, the harvest is about to come forth. And God, I thank you in advance for everything that's on the horizon. God, I thank you for what's on the horizon. I thank you for what you're taking out and what you're putting in, oh God. I thank you for what you're separating. Lord, just allow us to accept your will. Accept what you allow. We give you glory now. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And thank God. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Play some song. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, amen. Yes, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you know your servant. God, you know what she's going through. And you know what she's got to go on Thursday. But God, I also know you, that you are able to work a supernatural miracle. And God, I elevate my faith. And I pray that Elder Ellen Perkins elevate her faith. And begin to call a thing to be not as though it already is. In the name of Jesus, I bind the voices, the mouth of the naysayers. And Lord, I speak positive things concerning this situation in the name of Jesus. Because with every stripe, God, she's already healed. And God, you still got time to work. Even if you show up at the ninth hour, God, you still are God. And I pray, God, that a ninth hour miracle will come forth in the name of Jesus. Everything that's out of order is lining up right now in the name of Jesus. We command her body to line up with the will of God, according to the word of God. With every stripe, she's already healed. In the name of Jesus. Now, God, I call from the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, and the west wind to blow. Blow in her life. In Jesus' name. It is so. And so it is. Amen and thank God. Come on, saints, begin to pray. Hallelujah, God. Hey, Shanakobosha, Tedokobosha. Oh, God. Hold on. Yes, God. Do it for me, God. Hallelujah, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I cancel out the assignment of the enemy over your life. I bind the generational curses. I go in the spirit all the way back to your grandmother. I go all the way back to your great-grandmother. And we cancel out those curses that are following you in the name of Jesus. They will not. Come here, Pharaoh. Come here. Bring y'all come here. Come here. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Hey, ya, Come in. Oh, shanarakobo, shanarakosha. Every word, hey, shanarakobosha, that was spoken over you, Sandra, over Todd, over Bra, over Landa, that has matriculated down to your children. On down to the grandchildren, God said, it is canceled in the name of Jesus. You will not operate. Woo. You will not operate under those words in the name of Jesus. They are cut and canceled at the very root in the name of Jesus. And God, we call Gentiles, free his mind, God, as I lay hands on his son. Free his mind. Say to Lucia, hold. We command you by the power of the Holy Ghost to loose your hold in the name of Jesus. God, I loose your anointing, your spirit, oh God. And we arrest Gentiles in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. We arrest him in the spirit. We arrest his mind, God. That wild man spirit is canceled, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we speak obedience over you. We speak obedience over you. We speak obedience over you in the name of Jesus. Obedience, 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 obedience in the name of Jesus. It is so. And so it is. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and give God some praise. Come in, man. Prophet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all go sit down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. What's this? Zoom. Hallelujah. God, we give you glory. We give you praise, oh God. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for another new vehicle, oh God. Lord, we thank you. We You have blessed Minister Sandra Sizemore, oh God. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you will continue, oh God, to keep her, oh God. Bless it, oh God. Bless every part, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray your anointing in the name of Jesus over it, oh God, as she travels over the road, God. You be the pilot and not the co-pilot in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you. We give you praise. It's yours, God. It belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give me your keys. Some keys, any kind of keys. As a replica, you want some new keys? Hallelujah. As I was praying for her vehicle, I just saw God giving you one. Hallelujah. Amen. You want a new vehicle too? Are your church keys on here too? Well, we bless you for your new church. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give God praise. We pray that the Spirit of God will always abide there and that you walk according to the will of your Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You going to help me? Amen. I see that. I see it. God said, tell him what you want. You trying to analyze it and be analytical. There you go. There you go. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God's getting ready to add to some folk. And then after he add, he going to multiply. Amen. I know some of y'all trying to figure out why I'm walking around with this baby. It ain't cause I want one. But I'm praying that the anointing that's on my life be with him. God showed me the other day when I was messing with him, he got some funny eyes. They changed colors. God told me he's going to be able to see in the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we praying for him that as he grows, that God will protect him. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And that God will keep him. Amen. As we prepare for our tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh. I hear God saying, line up. When I look at you, I hear him say, line up. Get in line. There's some things you need him to do. Like the way I'm snapping my fingers, that's how you need him to work. But he said, first, before he can work, you got his hands tied because you won't do what he wants you to do. You line up and you watch how fast it happens. In the name of Jesus. See, that's what we got to understand, Brother Tommy, is that everything we need God to do is predicated on what we do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can't live ragged and think God's going to bless you. And some of us is living ragged. Oh, Jesus. Some of us is living ragged. We can't tell other folks how to live. So we clean up our own house. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Hi, y'all. How you doing? Hold your sister. I think he liked me. Well. Okay, we'll be still. We'll get it in a minute. All right, y'all ready? Y'all got y'all tithes and offerings. Take it on up there.